Amen. Joyce that Carol was referring to is, people think she looks like Joyce Myers. Do you agree? Stephen Geraghty just said it to me this week, doesn't that one Carol look like Joyce Myers? And well done, Carol. And God is good, amen? Amen. Father, bless your word to us. Just bless these next minutes, Father, into our lives, Lord. Your word is powerful, Father, and we just thank you for what you're doing in lives. Real people, Lord, with real situations, with a real God who has real answers. And we bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish our series this week that we've looked at for the last number of weeks on the house that we find in Mark chapter 2. Where there was incredible miracles that was going on in this house. We've looked at it over the last month. If you need to catch up, you are more than welcome to order a CD, which will cost a minimal cost. And also, if you don't want to do that, and you're a computer genius, or you have access to a computer, you can get on to www.libertychurch.ie, get onto the podcast, and download it, and you can have it on your iPhone or on your computer and listen. And I would encourage you to do so, because not only just listen, but take the scriptures, read them for yourself, find out what the Lord would say to you within these scriptures. But also it's important that you know what we are doing and trying to establish as the house that we call Liberty Community Church. It's vital, if this is your home, that you know the culture of a home that we are aiming for and where we are going as a church, so that you don't walk in and just think we're just any old church, because we're not. We're Liberty Community Church. And we have a voice, and we have a mandate, and we have a vision, and that's what we are aiming for. And we think it's the heart of God. We believe it because we're giving our lives to it. We're giving our money to it. We're giving our talents and our energy. We're giving our all to it. It's not something we do as a hobby. We believe it's God's house, and we want to help build it. And because this place, this house exists for people like Carol or anyone else that shared their story. People like you, or friends, or families that you know need something that is out of this world to enter into their lives, to take them further in their dream and in what God has for them. And I'm going to finish this incredible series on the house. And I have roughly 28 minutes left of my time. And I'm going to try to get 8 sermons into 28 minutes. Because I've 8 points left on this sermon, on this house. You know, we had a house of faith. They all began with F's. A house of faith, a house of forgiveness, a house of the few, and last week was the house of family. And we're going to try fit in a couple of more F's now along the way. But you know what? I and you and every other person that I know have a dream house, haven't they? Some dream of a little cottage in the country with a little brook running by it and the cows in the field, and you wake up to the lovely smells of the countryside and the lovely sounds of the countryside, birds whistling, horses neighing, the geese flying, and the shotgun blasting. Maybe for others, it's a mansion on a hill with a long drive up to it where the gates have your name on it. With a big welcome, big doors, big entrance. Or for others, it might be an apartment overlooking the great city, or a great city somewhere in the world. Everyone has a dream of what their house will look like. And I have a dream of what the house will look like, the house that's called Liberty. You know, Martin Luther had a dream. God gave the man in the Bible, Abraham, a dream. Michael Phelps, before he went to the Olympics, had a dream in his heart to become the greatest Olympian that has ever lived. He only got 8 gold medals. Nelson Mandela had a dream that he would see a unified South Africa, a better South Africa, where people would be equal. And you may say they are dreamers, but they're not the only ones. Are they? And I have a dream, and the dream is called the House of Liberty. A dream that of a house that is passionate for the things of God. I have a dream of a house that is alive. that is compassionate. A dream that is of a house that is radiant, powerful, merciful, and generous in every way. I have a dream of a house that is it's a place where the broken are healed, the outcast are welcomed, the downcast are lifted up, where the lonely can find a friend. I have a dream of a house that the whosoever from any walk of life can find our God-given purpose. I have a dream of a house that is relevant, that is real, that a house that raises up other leaders, a house that reaches out to other people, and a house that finds the rewards of God in it all. I have a dream of a house that is a house of faith, flexibility, a house of family, a house of forgiveness, a house of fantastic stories. Now you may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Am I? You may say that I'm a dreamer. Do you ever feel like just breaking out in song? Not this morning. But you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And we're going to finish looking at this house this morning. If you can put the scripture up on the screen. Does everybody know this passage right now? Because I've only read it out 5 times. Pardon? Through the roof. Let's go to the roof. I'll read it again. Let's read it. I'll read it and you can follow on the screen. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, just to tell you that Jesus in chapter 1 had already been in this house. He healed a woman. People brought their sick and their unwell and their demon possessed, and people that were caught in all types of vices and difficulties. And in chapter 1, he was in this house, and now he's back. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the great crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven," a house of forgiveness. When he seen their faith, a house of faith. "Sons, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that?" Sounds real English, doesn't it? Why does this fellow talk like that? "He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say to him, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, take up your mat and go home." He got up, he took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." One of the remits I believe we have as Christians and that we have as a church here is to win back the credibility of the word called church. And we use that word in conjunction with having a house that blesses God, that sees God, that lives for God, that is passionate about the things of God. And I believe having a house of faith, forgiveness, family will go a long way of winning back the word church. Because when you say church to somebody, they have that connected to a whole load of different things that may be true and may not be true. And somehow I don't think we have done a fully good job through centuries as Christians on the word church or what church is. But we have an opportunity in our generation to show the world what the church should be like. And you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Because I believe this is God's dream. And I believe the things that I shared just a moment ago about the house that I dream of is God's heart for his church. But this was an incredible house. And I want the house that we have discussed over the last weeks and this morning to be something that we mirror as a church. Who is it going to take to do that? All of us together. It is not my role, it is our role. That together everyone achieves much. Everyone achieves much when we do it all together. And I love this place where these men came. They heard the stories of Jesus healing before in the house. And they come with a man, four of them carrying a man on a stretcher. And each one of them take a hold of each corner and they carry him to Jesus. And when they get there, the house was full. When they get there, there was no room. I was at a funeral mass yesterday evening for a young boy that 19 years of age, hung himself in Ballyfermot. Absolutely, looking at these young people walking out, let alone the family members and the loved ones, but looking at these young people coming out of that place, broken, not knowing what was going to happen. But I was standing outside because there was no room to get in. Me and another 100 people probably, standing outside. And these men came to the same situation, although it wasn't a funeral, but he came and the one who had hope and the one who was the answer that they knew was in the house, they couldn't get to them. Did they give up? Did they say, I can't get in there, or here I'm going home, you can't get a seat in that place, or let's just give up. They never gave up, and one of them looked up and says, let's go to the roof. Let's take the roof off, and we'll get them before Jesus. But they couldn't get into the house. This is my first point. They couldn't get into the house because the house was full. My dream is that we have a full house. My dream is that the house would be full of grace and mercy. The house would be full of forgiveness and grace. A house that is full of the power of God and the acceptance of God and the love of God. A house that is full of people like you and me. That sometimes we come empty and we go out full. Sometimes we come full and we're part of the fullness of the house and we're able to give one unto another. A house that is full, not an empty house, not a house that is dwindling away. And you know, that brings to the point of this. You know what? You help make the house full. Your personality, your smile, your joy, your worship, your prayer, your faith, your forgiveness, you are part of the fullness of the house being full. See, some people say, oh man, no one will miss me today. We do miss you. Someone will miss you. Someone that sits beside you. I wonder where that girl is. I wonder where that guy is. I wonder where Mary is. I wonder where Josie is. I wonder where they are. And no one will miss me. No, yes, you are missed. Someone will miss you. Your joy, your gift, your worship helps make this house what it is. With you, we're bigger and better. With you, we have more to offer other people. With you in the house, we have something else to give into the mix. A house that is full. I'm moving through this because I'm running to 18 minutes. It was a house that was full of people who had experienced things already of the kingdom of God in chapter 1. And then those people told other people about what happened to them, and they brought more people to the full house so that they could receive something of Jesus that was in the house. Hence, that's why they came through the roof. And it was also, I would like to think, and I want our house to represent this house. Can I tell you guys that in the near future, we're going bigger and better. In the near future, we won't be meeting in this room. We will not be meeting in this room. We've outgrown this room. You may say, no, there's chairs there. You know, you have to always have chairs empty. Because then we know we have to fill them. It was a full house. And when we fill the next house, we fill another house. Because the ultimate goal is to have services over in the National Stadium. That's where their goal is. So every houses we go to get there, we'll get there. A full house. But I'd like to think about this house as well. It was a house of fun. Do you know what? When someone's digging through the roof, it's not fun to the owner of the house, but to everyone else, they would be thinking, this is madness. These are wacko. These are, man, crazy people. And see, the fun element always has to be in the house of God. Because we can find ourselves taking ourselves and life so serious that we tell someone about Jesus and they're thinking, I don't want to become like you. You big, sour-faced, serious monster. I don't want to be like you. There has to be laughter and joy. And boy, how do we bring that? By you just being your beautiful self. God, I came to Jesus and I lost my personality. What a testimony. I used to be like this out in the flats and in the streets and in the clubs and wherever. I come with the Jesus, and now I'm like this. Like someone's after robbing you. And if there's someone beside you in that sour face, shake them up. It's good to be alive. It's good to be living life. It's good that the sun is shining. It's good that our kids are healthy. It's good that I have something to celebrate this day. So cheer up, cranky. Amen. And you know what? That's an attractive house. Because you know the alternative is not very attractive. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to his name, O Most High. To proclaim his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. This is my delight. I tell you, you want to be a joyful Christian, when you get up in the morning, thank God in the morning for his love, his protection, his care. You want to go to sleep with peace in your mind? Thank him for his faithfulness to you. Thank him. He said, the psalmist says, here's a recipe for living. Proclaim his love in the morning and thank him for his faithfulness at night. I tell you, your dreams are different. Your aspirations are different. You wake up in the morning and you're just ready to say, Lord, thank you for this day. Instead of being that grumpy person. I think we can all be morning people. I think we can all wreck our kid's head and sing in the car. I do. A house of fun and laughter. Fun robbers are people who live under the law. I can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do. I'm like wondering, well, what can I do? Because everyone seems to be telling us what we can't do. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life in all of its fullness. Live your life. Write your book. Surf the waves, whatever you need to do, but live life. Instead of always worried, someone says to me the other day, we're obsessed. Who was it, Simon? We're obsessed with freedom. We're so obsessed with getting free, getting free, getting forgiven, getting accepted, that we're actually not even living. Where if we just start concentrating on living our life before God, all of these things will come in. Joy, like I'm finding a fella, I'm finding a house, I'm finding the bigger building, I'm finding this. My goodness, just live your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and all them things come in. They come in, they come in. I'm telling you, I'm 20 years on this road, they come in. Do you get me, Sharon? They come in. To convince my own wife, no they do, Sharon. A house of fun, do you get me? I remember I was talking to my insurance man, my life insurance man. It's hard to talk to him about fun things because he's giving you something for when you die. And then we were driving. He ended up giving me a lift into town and we were driving. And he pulls in, he says to me, I remember it was 10 past one. I had to go to a meeting at 2. And I got in early because he gave me a lift. And he goes, tell me stuff about yourself. I told him about myself. I told him about how God came into my life on the 22nd of March 1989, Tuesday night on the stadium. And it's a family joke. These all slag me over that. Someone said, Jenny says to me, when did you become a Christian again? And he asked me about, and it wasn't long before I was bragging about you guys. Because this is what a father of a house does. He brags about his kids. I want to tell you what they're doing. I want to tell you about the Stew Crew. I want to tell you about ARC. I want to tell you about R2E. I want to tell you about the media vision we have. I want to tell you about the welcome. And before I knew, I was bragging about the kids of the house. And he says to me, how do you cope with all of that? And I was looking at him, don't ask me. I knew the answer. He says, how do you cope with responsibility? How do you cope with people's lives? And I says, I've learned to live a Mars bar lifestyle. He's like, what's a Mars bar lifestyle? I says, you work, rest and play. You work hard, you rest hard, and you play hard. And I'm telling you as a Christian, if you work hard, play hard, and rest hard, you will be a healthy Christian. And I think that's the best advice I can give you this morning. Be a Mars bar. Next one, be not a house, only a house of fun, a house of fabulous stories. Isn't it amazing when you hear people's fabulous stories? The story, fabulous stories all over this room. I'd love to go down. My goal was to interview people and just pick people randomly and say, tell us your fantastic story. And you looking at me going, I'm going to kill you after, but it doesn't matter, that's after. It's like, you have a fantabulous, there's one, you have a fantabulous story to tell. Like, you know, when we're sitting with people, I just say, tell me how you became a Christian. Tell me when Jesus just lit up in your mind, in your life, when your world just opened up to you. Oh, when I became a Christian, honestly, well, I used to live in the flats up there, right? And we never looked over the roof of the flats. And we knew when we were hitting the roof of the flats in your ears or whatever, because the birds up there, which were old pigeons that we called gignas, they were up there, right? And they used to have, like, they weren't whistling, they, like, had asthma. So it was more like bronchitis type of a whistle, you know? I become a Christian, ask Jesus to come into my life. I don't know whether I've ever looked up beyond the roof before. I look, I see a blue sky. The clouds forming shapes of angels. No, that's a bit of an exaggeration. Okay. The birds were whistling. I could hear something new. Something different. There was a new hope, a new way of looking at life. I remember my mate brought me up the mountain, so I thought I was after going to heaven because I never came out of the flats. That was my security. That's where you could walk and talk the way you wanted to walk and talk. And all of a sudden, it makes sense. Fabulous stories of God's healing, of God's grace, of God's favor toward you. Stories when those storms were hitting and God comes in and gives you peace in the midst of it all. There's fantastic stories. Don't hold your story to yourself. Tell someone just the wonder of God, what he's done in your life. Just tell someone over a cup of tea. Be brash, be bold. Say, tell me your story. Tell me your story. A house of fabulous stories, a house of fond memories. This was a house of fabulous stories. Could you imagine them all that was in this house the first time running around the whole place telling, you want to hear, I know you don't believe in Jesus, he's the Messiah, but I want to tell you what happened to me. Because I was once like you are now, and I know that you are not happy. I know that you need some of this. Mightn't be the way I need it, but you need them in some way. And then all them that went back, see, I want to have a house of fantastic stories, and I believe we have it. And my heart for you is to get your story out there. Not to be press releases from Liberty Church. Someone else just found freedom. Someone else just found forgiveness. Someone else just heard and took a hold of eternal life. And fond memories, that this house would be full of fond memories. When you sit down with any of the older lads when we started up in Rialto, and it doesn't take you long to sit down when you're talking. I was with John the other night, before we knew we were talking about carting the things up the stairs, all the chairs, like, and when we rented out the place and we couldn't get the chairs because the pantomime was on, and they wouldn't give the church the chairs because the pantomime was on, and they had all the good chairs in the pantomime and we had half the chairs and broken chairs, and we had sofas in the room, and we were all sitting around this place like we were in the field drinking cider as opposed to having church. It was the craziest thing, and you know, they're just fond memories. And we need to create fond memories in the house. We need to create them. I create and Sharon creates. We have a passion to create memories for our kids. When we go away with our kids or we do something or we spring something on them, it's once because we want them when they're older to say, remember Mom and Dad did that? Do you remember, like, remember when we brought them to the airport and they thought we were going to Mayo, the conference that I was speaking at? And it turned out we were going to Disneyland in Florida. We took snapshots of them. Why? We want them to have these memories. Oh, when they were sick and you were sitting beside our bed for the night. Oh, when they were sick and you were wiping her up. And like, I want that for their house. Fond memories of one another. A house of fire. I'm trying to land somewhere. A house of fire. A place where this house was a house where heaven touched down. This house was a place where heaven touched earth. And we don't want to be just a church that does good, that are do-gooders. We want heaven touching here. Amen. We want to be a house that's on fire for the things of God and for the plans and purposes of God. It was a house where people found friendships, where people found connections. You know what the connection point was? Each of them took a handle off the stretcher. And they had this great thing in common. It's amazing you can find great friendships by grabbing a corner of a mat and doing something. It's amazing. They took a risk together and they found connection. It's amazing because they stuck to the task of getting them to Jesus together, and they found connection. They walked along a road together and found connection. They found friendships by grabbing a corner. You know what's coming if you know me. Get involved in something in the house. Because it's amazing, you have instant connections. See, if you're new here, don't wait for 6 months to get involved. There's places in the house that you can help contribute to. You might be up here preaching, because you'd probably kill me if I asked you. But you can serve the house in some way. And if you serve the ushers, with the ushers, for instance, that's 12 immediate connections you have. That when you come into church, you're not on your own. That's, oh, how's it going? Because you find connection in service. And that's a great incentive to be involved. And second, lastly, a house of fusion. A house, this is one of my favorite F's, by the way. I only found this one last night. A house where the combination of passion, enthusiasm, determination, hard work, skills, and faith combine together to result in a release of the kingdom of God. That together we fuse all of what we have. These men fuse together, like their skills, their passion, their determination, their faith, and together, fused together, they were able to get heaven to touch earth. You know, on their own, one of them wouldn't be able to carry that mat. Even two of them probably wouldn't have been able to get your man up there. And you can imagine the situation when they fused their lives together and their skills together. I could imagine it like this, the four of them, like one of them is like a real leader. You know, like, hey, you grab that one, you grab that one, you grab that one, I grab this one. And we start walking this way. And we start rowing in the same direction and we get to our destination. A real organizer. And then you get someone there and he's a real real mucker type of a person. Hey, I'll dig that and up, I'll lift that and I, whatever. And none of them can get in anywhere. And your man goes, how about the roof? I was like, and the others go, well, we don't know anything about roofing. And then there's a fella there that says, you know, I used to do roofing like when I was younger. If we get up there, I'll help take off the roof. And then they would go, but what about the people that are on there? And one of them has a few bob and he goes, look, we'll sort out the finances after. I have finances. If they're giving out about the roof, I'll pay someone to fix the roof. But together, they made this thing happen. They fused all of their life skills, passions, determinations together, and then they got to their destination in reaching Jesus to have a miracle in this man's life. See, we need each other. We need to fuse your gifts and your talents, your passion, your determination. Together we can. Together we can achieve. With your thought patterns, your view of the world, they're all needed in the house so that the house can be successful. Say, well, I only have this to bring. Bring it. I'm only a one talented man, but I'm going to give my talents. There's people that have loads of talents and bury it in the ground. And I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't like that because he says it in the Bible. He doesn't like when we take our talents and just hide them because he's given them to us. Find your connection point. Find your shape. Find your gift and serve the house where you're planted. In Romans 12, it says this, by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions. Fusion. So in Christ, we are who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it's in teaching, teach. If it's in encouraging, encourage. If it's in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him show it cheerfully. You know what the scripture is saying in Romans? That if all of the body is doing what they're supposed to do, those who are lead, lead. Those who are given, given. Those who are serve, serving. That is a dynamic body. That is a dynamic church. That is a church that is powerful in the combination of the power and the gifts of God within each of us. Because what the church tends to do, I'll do my little bit here, I'll do that over there, and there's no real combination of all the talents that is in the house put together. But according to Romans, that if we all do what we're called to do, the body functions. in the manner that it's supposed to function. But if you go missing and you're the eye, we're not going to see very well. If you're the hands that need to serve and you're not serving, we're not going to serve very well. If you're one of the feet or one of the bones in the feet, and you're not functioning, we're not going to walk to our destination. But Romans encourages that when they're all in operation, that's a dynamic house. That's a powerful house. That is a house that will bamboozle this city. That's a house that will win a city. That's a house that will be attractive to the city. That is a house where all of God's workings is at work within the house. And lastly, a house of freedom. The house of freedom is this. That you have to know when to get off the mat when Jesus tells you. Amen? When Jesus says, get up off that mat you've been lying on for years, you have to be obedient. Now that's freedom. And you know, for some of us, when Jesus says lie down, you need to lie down. We need to know when to lie and when to get up. We need to know when to rest and when to work. We need to know that there's a time for everything. That everything has a season. And some people need to be lying down and they're running around. And then there's some people that need to run around and they're lying down. Does that make sense? How does this work in their lives? Say if you're in bondage. Say if you have a heart of unforgiveness. Say if you have a heart of bitterness. Say you have a mindset that you just can't get out of. It becomes a mat. Every time I try to get free, I'm back on the mat. I'm back under the mat. I'm back like this mat and me and mat. It's like we're best mates. We're like, every time I try to get rid of it, one or two people have helped try to carry me to Jesus, but I'm not there. And I can't get before him because this mat. And you know what your mat is. We could put another word on it, like your giant or your obstacle or your fear factor. But whatever it is, it just stops you. You need to hear one day, because he will say this. If he's not already out there saying to you, he will say to you, get up and take your mat and walk home. Get up and be in charge of that thing rather than that thing being in charge of you. Get up and you be defined by what I tell you are rather than that mat defining who you are. See, we're not told that he's named the paralytic man. What we're told about is mat. And Jesus addressed the mat and says, get up, take that mat and walk home. I could imagine your man walking out and like the sea parting all the people. And your man's with the mat, dragging it behind him. All right, buddy. There's your man. He's the man with the mat. But he's not on anymore. He's smiling. He's full of faith. Hey, anyone that has a mat, bring them to Jesus because he gets people off mats. And if you can't get in, I have a few mates that will take the roof off and lower you down. Don't worry, because they combined all of their skills and passions and things together and they'll even pay for the roof. Pick up your mat and walk. See what happened with this man. He's a bit like blind Bartimaeus, because they named blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was like on the side of a road, heard Jesus was coming by, and he goes, this is my opportunity to get off my mat, which his mat was his blindness. And he calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples and people came over to him and says, be quiet. It was the equivalent of the house being full. How am I going to get to Jesus? Will I listen to these men and be quiet and stay on my mat, stay in my blindness, stay as a beggar? Do I listen to them and allow them to determine what my future is going to be? And he disassociated himself from their voice. And see, every relationship will either bring you closer to Jesus or further away from him. Every voice that we listen to will either bring us closer to him or away from him. And he disassociated himself. I'm not listening to yous. I tell you what, you're not carrying the mat I'm on. So why would I allow you to continue to define who I am and who I'm going to be? And the Bible says all the more he shouts out, Jesus, Son of David, stop here and have mercy on me. The The Bible says Jesus stopped. It's amazing, a sincere cry, a sincere prayer can stop God in his tracks. And I don't care where God is moving in the world. Quite frankly, I don't give a rip. I'm being honest. Because I want them to move in my city. And I bless wherever else it's going. But I tell you, I'm not stopping until he moves in our city, in our church, in our house. And our cry is every Thursday night. Not in these words, but in this is our passion, our heart. Jesus, stop in this place. Because some of us are blind. There's people in our community that need something. There's people that are desperate. And we believe you're the answer, Jesus. And we have to know that this house has to be a house of freedom. And we have to know when to get up off the mat and when to lie down. And blind Bartimaeus, Jesus went to him and says, what can I do for you? He says, Jesus, I want to see. I want to get off this mat. Jesus says, get up and go home. You're healed. And you know what? He was never called blind Bartimaeus again. Or just imagine, because I know this, you become a Christian and people see the change in you and you don't know where to land that damn words. For me, it was like I was sitting in my ma's and I couldn't wait to tell everybody to become a Christian. I was like, but how do I tell them? How do I tell them? My ma says, you're not going to go up to this, this and this tonight. My brother says, no, he's got holy. Thanks. I remember I wanted to tell my football team that I was playing with this team and there was like three teams, like 40 blokes on the team. I was like, how in the world am I going to let these guys know straight off I'm a Christian? So I'm telling you, you're better off doing it that way in 99.9 of the case. Because just nail your colours to the mass. You might get a bit of slagging, but then it moves on. Because the alternative is you don't see it and you end up compromising. That's what I've seen all the time. So I said, I'm going to tell them straight off. And I don't know how I was going to tell them, but one of the guys says, why is Noel not playing for the Sunday team? My manager says, because he goes to church. Thanks. They didn't know where to land. They don't know where to land where the freedom that has come into your life. So it nearly turns out being Dublin, being Irish, it's slagging. But you know, blind Bartimaeus, he was never called that again. He says, no way am I going to be defined anymore. You mightn't understand it. You mightn't know how to deal with me. But I'm not the man I used to be. Because I met Jesus. And he told me, in the man on the mat, in his case, he told me to get this mat and walk home with it. And now I'm in control of it, rather than it being in control of my life. What mat would Jesus say? Come on, guy, get up and walk. What mat would Jesus say? Hey, stop living under that.